This is Karma Spence, the Own Your Awesome in Business and Life Coach, and this is part 3 of my How Do You Define Your Worth Survey Reaction, which is a part of my overall Pay Me What I'm Worth journey. Now, I'm not just doing this survey all by myself. I've gotten Soul to come in along with me, and he is helping me understand the thinking behind each question. It is my hope and my intention that listening to these audios will also help you get a deeper, better experience of taking the survey yourself. So, Soul, are you ready to go into these third 4 questions?
I'm ready to rock and roll. Before we dive in, like we did on the last one, what are you getting from these first 8 questions out of 20? Anything in particular coming up to the surface?
There's a lot more gray area in my life than I was aware of. I mean, places where I waffle, or if you look at your life as a wheel with facets, there are some facets of my life that are scoring pretty well, and others need some bolstering.
So how do you extrapolate that grayness into your ability to naturally inspire people to pay you what you're worth?
I think it's when you become of the gray areas in your life, and those are the areas where I guess your integrity isn't as strong as it should be, because we did talk about integrity in the last episode. When you become aware of your gray areas, you are now empowered to clean up that part of your life, to make decisions that will get you into being firm on that area of your life. And when you become more firm in your decisions and you're more conscious of who you are and how you're behaving, then you are more likely to be paid what you're worth.
Bingo. Bingo. To me, confidence. Rock solid, deeply rooted confidence. It's magnetic. It's inspiring. It's off-putting, because there are times where I meet really confident people going, crap, I wish I was as confident as them.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone who is really confident, I make the mistake, Karma, of labeling them arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Only because they're mirroring back to me my own arrogance.
Interesting way to look at it.
Which sets up our first question.
Right. In part 3, I'm going to be answering the third set of 4 questions, which include personal relationships, power, professional development, and professional relationships. First question is about personal relationships. And it says, overall, my personal relationships are the family, friends, coworkers, classmates, etc. And the answers options are 1, source of daily pain and suffering. They say they love me. I sense little or no love from them. Oh, God. That sounds like my ex-husband. 2, roots of doubt, guilt, shame, or worry. When I share my dreams, they often laugh at me. Oh, I've been there too. 3, buffer between a crazy world and my sanity. And 4, reasons I feel so alive, fulfilled, and ready to start my day. Now, interesting. And here's like where I've come on my process. So when I was married, my husband was that source of daily pain and suffering. And he was also the root of doubt, guilt, shame, or worry. It was really an unpleasant relationship. Then I got out of that relationship and I got into a group of people who became the buffer between a crazy world and my sanity. It was like, as I was healing from all the damage of that relationship, it was just nice to have those people there to like, say, hi, Karma, and look like they really wanted to, happy to see me and give me a hug. You know, it was like, it didn't even matter if it was real or not. I just felt loved for the moment, and it was a buffer. But honestly, my good friends, the ones I really, because there's friends and there's acquaintances. There's friends that you say hi to and you're friendly to and you might like go have a coffee with, and then there are your real friends. The real friends are the reasons I feel so alive, fulfilled, and ready to start my day.
So remember that key word at the very first part of the question is
overall.
Up until this second in time, overall.
Yeah, it's still hard to answer. I probably have to lean toward the buffer between a crazy world and my sanity, because I don't think I'm 100% at number 4 yet. Reasons I feel so alive, fulfilled, and ready to start my day. There are still people in my life that probably I could do without.
So number 3.
So number 3. how do personal relationships relate to your worth?
In one of our chapters, we talk about the comparison monster.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
You remember what you said in that video? Our sense of worth, my sense of worth, Karma, can easily be influenced by my personal relationships. That's a pretty factual statement, yeah?
Yeah.
So if my sense of worth is primarily based on my personal connections, do you think I'm going to feel real worthy if the people who say they love me are that my primary source of pain and suffering on a daily basis?
No. We are like that because we are social creatures. So we take our cues from our surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I can see that.
And if my sense of worth is so decayed because other people have such a low opinion about me, do you have a notion that I might invite the dog to bite me?
Right. Exactly.
If they say they love me, but they're making me doubt myself, they make me feel guilty, they shame me, they make me worried. Again, doesn't that make me vulnerable? And that vulnerability opens the door to people taking advantage of me?
Yes.
Now, the bridge, you talked about the evolution of your life and how you came to your answer, that buffer between a crazy world and my sanity. Karma, what I heard you say in your journey is all of a sudden you began to realize you had to make changes in order to survive. Yes?
Yes.
And you started seeking out people who could support you in those changes, right?
Unconsciously, yes.
What do you think about the reality that as you go through pay me what I'm worth, with a group of people who become your support team to help you change, how more easy and how more profound do you think that change will be if you were doing this all by yourself versus with a group?
Oh my God, completely, especially if you're still stuck in an environment where you aren't being valued.
Bingo.
And I happen to know for a fact that that's the case because when I was in my marriage, it was the connections I made online to people I have never even met physically that helped me pull myself out of that marriage.
So, last but not least, have you noticed that the more you surround yourself with people who really do love you, who really do care for you, who really do want you to feel fulfilled and happy and loved, they act like a vaccine, they act like an inoculation that you're not attracting people like you used to, that you were attracting people who were trying to hurt you? You don't do that anymore.
Exactly. I don't think I necessarily, I attracted the one. I think my underlying nature still attracted fairly decent people. But yes, and I know that we attract people into our lives because we are looking for what we attract. For example, I have an ex-boyfriend who, it was stunning to watch him attract the awful things into his life. The two of us would walk into a bar and the bartenders would treat him like crap and he hadn't even opened his mouth yet. He expected to be treated like crap, and so he kept attracting that sort of behavior over, and I would just look, I'm like, I don't understand why this is happening. And it was only when I started understanding his thought processes that I realized he was attracting it because that's how he saw the world.
And people reinforced that.
And people reinforced it. It was uncanny. It was like, what? I mean, things happened to him that would never happen to me because it wouldn't even occur to me that said things would happen. And if they did happen, I probably wouldn't notice them.
So this particular question is addressing what the work we're doing in chapters 6 and 7 of our journey together. And it's the personal relationships that I help you get a decent perspective of. And then I help you with some ways of defining, do you want those relationships in your life or not? Mm-hmm. And if you do, what are the costs to those relationships besides money? And are you willing to pay them?
Right.
And if you're not willing to pay them, let them go.
Exactly. And then there's the midpoint, where how can you modify the relationship so that you can still get the benefits you seek while reducing the costs?
And that's exactly what happens in our study groups.
That's awesome. Okay, the next question is about power. I define power as, how many forms of power do you recognize? 1, a force that makes things happen no matter the cost. 2, a scary thing that frightens me. 3, earned respect granted by me to those who share power wisely. And 4, different from force, power flows from the inside out. Force flows from the outside in. Well, I agree that power and force are different. The thing I don't like about 3, earned respect granted by me, is because it totally discounts me being a source of power as well. And I'm certainly not afraid of power, although sometimes it can give you pause. So I'm thinking I'm leaning towards 4, because power, I think power flows from the more you own your awesome, to use my particular perspective on things, the more power you have. And sometimes I believe that you can have power without realizing you have it. But Bingo. Others pick up on it.
So 4?
Yes, 4. Seems very obvious from the answer options you've given that you're thinking of power in a unique way. Can you illuminate your thought process on this question?
Love to. And once again, I want to dive into a role play. Will you be willing to play a role play with me? Again, we'll set
sure,
the stage with, you've never met me before, I've never met you, we're at a party or something like that, you have no idea who I am and what I'm doing, and I ask you, Karma, I'm curious, can you imagine a person that's alive today, that they know you, and it's someone that you absolutely adore? Can you get that person's picture in your head? Don't tell me who it is, but just let me know when you get that person's picture in your head.
Okay.
So as you think of this person, they have, for all practical purposes, a power that you find attractive. True?
Yes.
Would you use your power to screw them over?
No.
Take advantage of them?
No.
Hurt them? Harm them?
No.
Why not? You do. You've got the power to do that.
With great power comes great responsibility. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't screw people over. But then also, when you care about someone, the last thing you want to do is screw them over.
Right. But my unique perspective about power is everybody has power. You make a conscious choice on how you use it, right?
Yes.
So that person that you got in your mind, that image of the person that you admire, you adore, is that image you?
No, but you asked me, I should say I inferred from the question that you were asking me about someone other than me. Interesting that you make that point, because I just released a podcast. The second podcast in October is all about evoking your awesome avatar. And there's a process I'm developing on how to create your awesome avatar. And your awesome avatar is basically an iconic representation of your best self. And what you do is, instead of calling forth, evoking your heroes, you're calling forth, evoking you. Your best you. It's sort of like you use your best you as your hero instead of other people.
Bingo. My question to you was, get an image in your mind of a person you adore that's living and knows you. You decided to externalize it. Because
right.
We're conditioned that if you were to have your answer be yourself, what a narcissistic ego crazy person are you, right?
Exactly.
How does that damage worth?
Yeah.
Which sets us up perfectly for our next question.
Alrighty. So the next question is professional development. And the question is, to achieve success professionally, what do you do to advance your professional goals? 1, network with other people hoping to find someone who will recognize my potential. Well, that one's not me. 2, manipulate people with special attention, faux respect, money, compliments, and favors. Again, not me. I have better things to do with my time. 3, ask for help from people who have achieved what I seek to achieve. I've done that on occasion, but most of the time, I'm frankly just too scared to do that. And 4, help other people achieve what they believe to be a success. Now, that's the easy one. That's actually the easy answer for me, because it's easier for me to help other people than it is to help myself. Interesting little insight into the psychology of karma.
Which aligns with your scoring of giving and receiving.
Exactly. And it's interesting. Yeah. So what's the thought behind here?
So your answer to this one is 4?
Yeah.
Help others achieve what they believe to be success?
Yeah.
Cool. Pay me what I'm worth when it comes to professional development is geared to mirror the philosophy behind servant leadership. Are you familiar with that term, servant leadership?
Yes.
And so your definition of servant leadership would sound like?
A servant leader is someone who leads by being of service, which may sound like opposites. If you go by what I believe Zig Ziglar said, and I'm paraphrasing here, the best way to achieve your goals is to help other people, as many people, achieve their goals.
Why do you think that's true?
I just feel it's true. And I think it has a lot to do with energy. And I think also there's a lot of psychology that goes into it too, because people are more likely to help you if they felt that you helped them.
Bingo. I want to use the analogy or the illustration of a tree, life cycle of a tree. Think about this. A tree starts out as what?
A seed.
A seed that successfully found rich soil.
And water and light and, yeah, all the necessities.
The seed could have landed on concrete.
Yep.
Could have landed in a water. The seed could have landed on sand. In other words, the seed could have landed a number of other places, but a tree became a tree because the seed, which came from the tree, landed in soil, and the soil allowed it to start growing, right?
Right. It basically landed in a favorable environment.
Which is what we're looking for in our leaderships. Now, a tree can kill another tree because the tree doesn't allow enough sunlight down or enough water down to water the seed or to light the seed, right?
Exactly, yes.
It can't grow. In other words, until the parent tree dies and decays and crumbles away, can the child tree grow, right?
No, that's correct, yeah.
How many leaders have you discovered that they're comfortable in helping other people become leaders to a certain point?
Oh, especially in the corporate world where it's almost a lot of corporate environments are set up to make everybody compete with each other.
So if I ask you for help to achieve what I seek to achieve, and if you start helping me and I start achieving, and all of a sudden you discover that I'm achieving more than you are, what might happen?
Some people would get very upset about that and then try to sabotage the person they're helping.
Now, those leaders who know their worth, those leaders who have no threat to their legacy, this question has to do about legacy.
Mm.
Did you ever think of framing it this way?
No.
This is about legacy. When I help people achieve what they believe to be success, I'm part of their soil. I'm not all of their soil, but I'm part of their soil. I'm helping them grow, right?
Right.
And as they grow and they become successful, I also notice that the leaders that I admire most, they want no recognition. They don't need to be acclaimed at the award speeches. In fact, they prefer not to be.
Right.
So to me, helping other people achieve what they believe to be success, I was going to add to that last one, anonymously. But I realized that that would be too big of a stretch for most people.
Yeah.
That's what's cooking behind professional development.
Right. Well, there was something you said that just kind of like triggered me for a moment there is ultimately, and it was the thing around awards, I have a fondness for three-dimensional objects of recognition. Although I don't do things with the end goal of achieving an award, it's nice to know that people noticed and get awarded every once in a while. And I have ambivalence toward that part of me because part of me feels like, well, it shouldn't matter. And it doesn't. But then part of me feels like, well, why do you want it? Why do you like it so much? And aren't you a bad person because you want an award? Any thoughts?
You've just discovered a paradox, and that paradox is going to prevent abundance.
Elaborate, please.
Imagine your typical tug-of-war field game. You've got 10 people on the right, 10 people on the left, a ribbon in the middle of the rope.
Mm-hmm.
If both sides are pulling equally as hard, where is that ribbon going to go?
Okay. So
one part of you is saying, wow, look at this trophy, look at the certificate, look at me, thank you for acknowledging me. Oh, I feel so much more worthy. And then another part of you is going, where's the award? What, hey, you know, I worked hard for this, damn it. Chip, 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 decay, 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 your sense of worth. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Which side is the better side? Is there a better side?
Neither. Get to a space. Part of developing a healthy sense of worth is you have zero need for affirmation.
But you can appreciate it when you get it.
Like a gracious gift? Yes.
Okay.
But the way you cultivate your relationships is you help people understand you honestly, truthfully need no affirmation. Genuinely do not seek affirmation. Let me give you an insight. One of my most cherished teachers, and this sets the stage for our next question on professional relationships. At the very beginning of our time together, she sat me down and she said, Soul, if you repeat what I tell you to someone else, you need to own the words. You do not tell people, according to, you never use my name. I do not want you using my name. You own the words. Why do you think I'm asking you to do this? And I pondered, and I said, well, you're asking me to step up to the plate and own what I say. Therefore, if what I say results in a benefit, then because I'm owning 100% of what I say, I get 100% of the benefit. If I'm adding your name to the praise, somehow I'm sharing the benefit with you, and you're telling me you don't want that. So why am I giving you something you don't want? On the other hand, if I attach your words to your name and I end up having a penalty or it's caused me something, then I can use you as a scapegoat. And you have no desire whatsoever for me to allow our relationship to be such that I can use you as a scapegoat. True? She says, you've got it.
Okay. You might want to rewind the audio and listen to that again. Okay, so let's move on to the next question, which is professional relationships. Not to be confused with personal relationships we talked about earlier. For me, a professional relationship is, where do you draw the line between your personal and professional worlds? Oh, goodness. Is there even a line? Okay, answer number one, not someone I would consider a friend. Business is business. I hire them or they hire me to do the job and that's it. Two, temporary at best. When I find another professional who costs me less time, money, or attention, I go with them. 3, a doorway to important resources that I need to learn, grow, gain, and maintain good health, etc. 4, to be nurtured when I find the right fit for what I need. I'll stick with this person once I feel confident they're on my side. I'm leaning toward number 4 because the way I naturally am is I like to be friends with people. I like to connect. Although there are people in my life that it's a purely business because, you know, it's not like I'm friends with the grocer or the garbage man or the mail lady. It's just there isn't enough interaction to nurture a friendship. That said, most of my clients become my friend on some level. And I often think that the few who don't become my friend, I'm like a friend, is usually because they don't feel the need to connect with me, not the reverse. Yes, there's a lot of people out there who, of course, I may have gone to find them because I needed to learn, grow, gain, maintain. But ultimately, if I'm going to interact with someone for any length of time, I want them to be more than just a business associate. Mm-hmm. So what are you getting at with this question?
What makes or breaks a professional relationship? Continuity? Stability? Think along those lines. When it comes to a professional relationship, more often than not, a professional relationship equals an exchange of either money, goods, or services, right?
Yes.
The more stable that exchange is, the more successful. True?
Often.
If you have someone who treats you as a source of money and that's the only reason why they're interacting with you, would you stick around with them very long?
No.
Okay. What about if you...
And frankly, if the roles are reversed and I only think of that person as a source of money, I don't want to stick around with them either.
Okay. So that's number one. Number two, how do you think a business is going to thrive and grow if we continue to feed the shark, meaning if a roll of toilet paper is $1.95 at store A, but they pay their employees a living wage, and a roll of toilet paper is 85 cents at store B, but their employees are on food stamps, which means part of my tax money is going to pay for their food, even though I'm getting a cheaper roll of toilet paper, I'm not.
Right.
So the second one here is look at how flippant we are with our professional relationships. If somebody can find someone who can do what I do for a cheaper cost and they dismiss me, I can guarantee you that they're not going to get the same value that I'm going to give them. Only in their mind are they looking at the dollar amount. I'm reduced to basic dollar amount. That's not a healthy professional relationship, right?
Right.
So ultimately, what's behind this question is, you remember the chapter where we talked about you get what you pay for, chapter 6?
Yes.
Have you found that quality products and services come from quality vendors?
More often than not, yes.
And that when another vendor comes along that can undercut, hey, I can give you a cheaper whatever, but you have no relationship with them? Are you going to flip-flop? Are you going to go? How much of a loyal customer are you going to be?
Okay.
So, Karma, overall, in your professional relationships, the type of people that you're looking to coach, you want them to recognize your value and pay you accordingly. Yeah?
Yes.
And if they find another coach that they think can do a better job cheaper, do you find that threatening or do you find that a wake-up call to do your job even better?
That would be a wake-up call. It would also make me wonder why the other person is cheaper if they're offering better services. Because they're obviously not charging what they're worth.
So the last part of that sentence is I'll stick with this person once I feel confident they're on my side. How can you feel confident about someone who is purposefully asking you to break your relationship with someone else because they're cheaper?
Yeah.
reminds me of someone, oh, yeah, I cheated on my first spouse, but I'll never cheat on you. Yeah. Oh, that really goes a long way for me.
Mm-hmm.
See where I'm going?
Yeah. It's an integrity issue, too.
Bingo.
Okay. This is the end of this episode. This is Karma Spence, the Own Your Awesome in Business and Life Coach, signing off.
Thank you, Karma, for inviting me to dive a little deeper into what is all happening with the survey at paymewhatimworth.com/survey. Heads up, everyone. Karma will be starting a master's program. To get into that master's program, you need to have an intake interview with her. Be sure to give her a call at 424-235-3743. That's 424-235-3743. Explore with Karma if this master's program for Pay Me What I'm Worth is a fit for you. I look forward to having you in class. Aloha.